stand out on Main Street across Mr. Blues. My faded leather jacket, my weather broke and shoes. Chill on was blowing, the spring is coming on. I want to myself.
Once you get past Cody Canada's intro, Feeling Good Again is the lead track for the new album by Robert Earl Keen. It's called Live Dinner Reunion. Robert Earl Keen, it's great to have you on. Thank you for your time.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me on the show. Yeah.
This is a concept album of sorts. You recorded a live album about 20 years ago at a country store in Texas, and you sort of wanted to revisit that album. Why did you want to revisit this concept?
It was kind of a surprise, you know, one of those happy adventures where you did something. The original one I just did on a lark. I liked the way the band sounded. I had my friend Lloyd Maines get a recording truck, and like, you know, they did in the old days, and back it up there and fill the stage with carbon monoxide and, you know, get it going. And we recorded this record, and it was really, really popular. It was, at the time, it was the most, you know, it sold more records than anything that Sugar Hill had done for about 10 years. So it was a real big deal. And a lot of people, you know, over the years, people always mention it. And so came the 20th reunion, and the guy who owns Flores Country Store now is a really good guy. And has changed the venue quite a bit, and I mean, he's updated everything. It works really well now. And he suggested that, and I thought it was a good idea. So we got together, and so I put together, you know, we did the thing with, we had Reckless Kelly, and we had Cody, and The Departed, and then right about a week before it, I thought, you know, I'm gonna ask some of my friends. So I asked Lyle and Bruce Robinson and Corey Morrow, and we just had a big time. You know, my friend Duckworth, who is in the original band, came out. And so, you know, we recorded it again and did the same thing, basically.
Yeah, you had a lot more people at this show than the one 20 years ago.
Right, definitely.
I want to ask you about Lyle Lovett. How long have you and Lyle been, you know, known each other, been friends?
Well, what is 2017 to 1976?
Wow, well,
41 years.
Yeah.
41 years.
Why did you want to bring Lyle on board for this album?
Lyle's like my soulmate in the music business. I mean, we not only, you know, met and got along when we were in school and played and hung out all the time when we were in school, but when we got out of school, we played a lot of the same places, did a lot of the same things, and actually, unbeknownst to each other, we both moved up to Nashville, Tennessee in the same week in 1985. So I call him up sometimes when I do stuff and ask him if he's around. If he's around, he's busier than I am, and I'm busy.
If you don't want me, mama, you sure don't have to squall. No, no. If you don't want me, mama, you sure don't have to squall. I can get more women than a pack of trank and all. What do you say?
I'm gonna buy me a pistol as long as I'm tall. Yes, I'm gonna buy me a pistol as long as I'm tall.
The song is Tea for Texas. It's on the new album by Robert Earl Keen called Live Dinner Reunion. Robert Earl Keen is our guest here on GLT Sound Ideas. Joe Ely, another guest. And Joe's a guy that recorded your staple song, The Road Goes On Forever. Were you pretty pleased when his cover came out a few years ago with how he did it?
Yeah, Joe's always, you know, a consummate player and singer. So, you know, anything that Joe does, I used to go see Joe when I lived in Austin, and he always had the best band around, always, you know, and that's because he's a great band leader. When he makes records, he makes really great records. And so, you know, I knew when, like, Joe was talking about doing a song that it was going to be better than my version for sure, so I was really happy. And, you know, it's always nice when you're able to get somebody else singing your song so you can show it to your friends or your family and say, see, this song's a real song. It's not just me singing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Ely.
Sherry was a waitress at the only joint in town. She had a reputation as a girl who got around down Main Street after midnight. A brand new pack of cigs, a fresh one hanging from her lips, a beer between her legs. She'd ride down to the river and meet with all her friends. The road goes on forever and the party never ends.
I want to turn it on a couple of different ways right now. You've lobbied Congress for musicians' rights. How have musicians' rights been altered, especially in the digital age, and what are you arguing that needs to be changed?
Man, don't get me started.
Yeah? It's bad.
You know, the music business has been eviscerated by the internet. That's all there is to it. I mean, it's look, I accept it because if you look at, I look at it historically. I look almost everything historically. It's a lot easier to, like, you know, sort of be able to think objectively when you look at things historically. Historically, in the music business, about every 30 years, there's a pretty good shift. There's something that happens, you know, for instance, you know, like in the 50s, the singles. Then, you know, in the 80s, it's the CDs, right? And in between, there was, you know, LPs and that sort of stuff. But, you know, the singles were a big deal. And then, you know, when you went to CDs, it was a big deal. It changed a lot of the ways things were going. It changed the way how many songs you could put on a record and things like that. So then, you know, boom, all of a sudden, you know, 2010, we got, you know, this, you know, full-blown internet, net, and CDs are pretty much gone altogether, and everything's in the internet. And the thing is out there is, you know, that other companies, the record companies weren't visionary enough to see this coming down the pike, so they just kind of sat there in the corner and, like, shivered and hoped that somebody would still send them their money. And they didn't, because, you know, Apple took over, Spotify took over, Pandora took over, and all these people, they don't have any history. They don't have any perspective on history. They don't care how much a musician makes. They don't realize that the musicians are always at the bottom of the totem pole. I mean, okay, you can talk about, like, the top-tier people, you know, and, you know, mention any of them, whatever the top-tier people are, they're doing fabulous, and it makes it look good, and everybody wants to be one of them. But there's scores, there's hundreds and thousands of people out there that make their money in music, and particularly make their money, you know, like in production or songwriting and stuff like that, and they're not getting paid anymore. Studios have just folded because people make records in their basement and stuff like that.
Well, let me ask you this, Robert.
I'm sure you have an opinion of this.
Well, wondering is what do you tell Congress? What are you arguing needs to change, if anything?
Well, I argue that we have to really pay attention to who's making the music and the people that are out there making the music and how the music is made, because you would not believe how little they know about how a song is created or constructed and how it's put on a demo, how it's handed to an artist, how an artist goes in the studio, plays with some studio musicians, how all of those people all along the line make a living doing that, and all of a sudden somebody, you know, makes this record in their basement and they put it out on Spotify and nobody gets paid. It takes up a seat, you know. It takes up a space. You, there's no business about, like, thinking that there's not cosmic space in the world. And if one thing takes over, another thing goes away. And so you have to remind people that this is still legitimate and people still play.
Robert Earl Keen is our guest. This is GLT's Sound Ideas. You're involved in getting kids involved in music through benefit concerts and other outreach and things. Why is this important to you?
Man, I love classical music. I love classical music because it's like, I don't know, just it's always sounded good to me, and I loved it since I was a little kid, and I can't play it. I can't read a note of music. But my daughter got involved in playing the violin when she was 6 years old. Here in Kerrville, Texas, is 60 miles northwest of San Antonio. Here in Kerrville, Texas, they have a thing called Hill Country Youth Orchestra. They have 100, now that when I started with them 10 years ago, they had about 80 kids. Now they got 140 kids. They have 140 kids that play the violin, the viola, the cello, or the bass, and they learn how to play from note one. You know, they start when they're about 6 years old, but you can come, you can bring any of your kids, any kid can come up, walk up there and sign up, and they'll put them right there and start teaching them how to play. And here is the trick. There are projects like this all over the United States. None of them are free. In Kerrville, Texas, it's free. Any kid that wants to walk up and learn how to play the violin, the viola, the cello, or the bass, and learn how to read music, and learn how to play in a symphony situation, can walk up on Monday evening and sign up, and they get to do this all year round, year after year. In the 10 years that I've been with them, I've watched kids who could barely, you would think, had no musical talent whatsoever, but just be barely scratching out Twinkle Twinkle in the Suzuki method. And when they get 13 or 14, all of a sudden, boom, they just explode like some kind of supernova, you know. All of a sudden they know how to play, and you go, wow, it's amazing. So not only do I love the music, and like I get to be just, you know, get to be a fly on the wall and watch these kids just really grow musically, but I also, you know, I really get to contribute. We play, we do a concert every year. This last year, we did a concert, and they take all the gate. I just play. That's all. That was my deal with them from the beginning. Here, look, I'm going to play. You take all the money. So let's see. We made $74,000 this year. Over the 10 years that we're up to about $700,000 over the 10 years. That we've given Hill Country Youth Orchestra. And not only that, we've spread out into the public school system, the Kerrville Independent School District, where we do a thing a month before called What Does Music Look Like? And all the art classes in all the public schools here in Kerrville, Texas, draw paintings and drawings of what music looks like to them. And then we, you know, give a pizza party, give them some guitars, you know, give a whole thing, a bunch of, you know, prizes, you know, give a 1, 2, 3, you know, grand prize sort of thing. And so it's spread out into the independent schools. So people even here in this town, they don't all know about Hill Country Youth Orchestra, but because we've spread out into the schools, the awareness is real high.
Well, you talked about kindness and giving back. Boy, that's the definition of it right there. And boy, how about another meaning of the road goes on forever then, too, with you giving back like that? Maybe it's a stretch a little. I just love that song as everybody else does. Robert Earl Keane. Thank you. Appreciate talking to you. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Thank you.